We continue in our sermon series on the seven last words of Christ from the cross. Last Sunday was a time of celebration and anticipation as all around our country, and maybe even the world, as the teams were welcomed into the big dance, the NCAA tournament. You know, people were cheering and with excitement, but just 4 or 5 days later, these same people who were cheering all around the world, they were mourning with disappointment. Do we have any KU fans here today? Yeah. anyway, a roller coaster experience, right? From joy to sorrow. Well, Palm Sunday was like that too. You know, their Messiah was coming in to save Israel. He was coming into Jerusalem and people were waving the palm branches, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. People were so filled with such anticipation and excitement, but just 5 days later, they're filled with sorrow and hopelessness and despair as they watched their Messiah, their supposed Messiah, being crucified on the cross. Confusion set in. But then Sunday would come again, Resurrection Sunday. And this Messiah was indeed proven to be the Savior of the world. It wasn't a comeback at all. God was in charge from the get-go. He knew the outcome. Well, we're in our sermon series on the seven last words of Christ from the cross, when all looked doom and gloom for the disciples and for the women who were at the foot of the cross. The last words spoken before Jesus' death reveal a lot about him, but the last words of anyone who speaks reveals a lot about a person. For example, can you guess who these famous people were who spoke these last words? I finally get to see Marilyn. Joe DiMaggio, Marilyn Monroe, right? I feel something that is not of this earth. Mozart. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Anyone? Steven Jobs. Don't let it end like this. Tell them that I said something. Pancho Villa. I'm looking for some loopholes. W.C. Fields. Make sure you play Take My Hand, Precious Lord. Play it real pretty. Martin Luther King Jr. And Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. It was Mother Teresa. Famous last words reveal a lot of about one's spirit. And Jesus' two final words from the cross, his sixth and seventh word, they reveal much about him. His sixth word was when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head, he gave up his spirit. And as he gave up his spirit, we read from Luke's gospel, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." That was Jesus' final word. At our upcoming Good Friday service, Pastor Jeremy will be speaking of his sixth word, "It is finished." And so I'll be skipping ahead to the seventh word this morning, which says in Luke 23, "It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And when he had said this, he breathed his last." Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." What does this tell us about Jesus, the Messiah? It tells us first, his first word is "Father." Did you know his first statement from the cross and his last statement from the cross began the same way? "Father." First statement, "Father, forgive them." The last statement, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In other words, Jesus would never let go of his trust in his heavenly Father, even though it would have felt to him that his Father was far away, that he was absent, in fact, during those 6 hours that he suffered on the cross. But prior to Jesus' arrival on earth, this title Father would have been used very sparingly by Jews. In fact, only 15 times God is referred to Father in the Old Testament. But then when Jesus came, well, before that, devout Jews during Jesus' day, they would have not even dared to speak the name out loud, the name of God. For example, they would have never said Yahweh or Jehovah or the name I am that I am, because that word was too sacred, too holy. They wouldn't have even used the word Adonai, which means Lord, unless they were praying, as these names, again, were considered too sacred to say out loud. Instead, they would have referred to God by the title of Hashem, which means the name. They referred to God by the name, the title, the name. But when Jesus began to teach, he referred to God as his Father. God was not just a holy God, he was an approachable God, Jesus was saying. Jesus used the name Father 17 times in the Sermon on the Mount. He taught his disciples to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Matthew 6, he wrote, But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then in Jesus' priestly prayer in John 14 through 17, he referred to his Father 44 different times. Jesus would even refer to his Father as Abba, and it would teach his disciples to do the same, apparently, because the Apostle Paul said with confident affirmation in Romans 8, For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And this word for Abba means daddy. It's a very intimate term. Additionally, Jesus would compare God to a father in some of his parables. For example, in the prodigal son, God was like this patient, loving father who waited for his prodigal son to return, a father who would break all the rules known to the customs during that day, a father who would lift up his gown like this, and he would run to his son in the distance in order to embrace him and welcome him home. That would have been unheard of for an elderly Jewish man to do so. If we're honest, God can seem pretty distant to us, pretty absent, or too holy, too separate, if you will, to approach him, especially after we fail him. But Jesus would demonstrate from the cross, but not only on the cross, but during his lifetime, that we can call upon our Heavenly Father at any time as our Heavenly Daddy. He's approachable. He wants to be known. Jesus went on, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What does this imply? Into your hands. God's hands for a believer would have been a place of assurance, a place of security, a place of safety. We sing the song, I got the whole, he's got the whole world, right? In his hands. And Jesus held on to this belief in that his Father was holding him, even as he was suffering on the cross. Jesus would teach earlier in John 10, no one can snatch God's children out of my Father's hands. Reminds me of a story of a soldier who was severely wounded in the Vietnam War. He was blinded. His mind was clouded. His body was mangled as he lay in the hospital room. His mother would have to travel 2,000 years to be by his bedside, and as soon as she entered the hospital room, she laid her hand upon his brow, and the soldier responded without seeing her, Mother, is that you? It must be you. His mother hadn't spoken a word, but he knew the tender touch of his mother. That's what it's like when our Heavenly Father touches us. We can't see him, yet we can sense his touch. We know his nearness. His presence calms and consoles the hearts of his children. Our Heavenly Father offers his hand of comfort and protection and provision to us as his children when we call upon his name. And so Jesus called, "Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Isaiah 41, the psalmist writes, the prophet writes, "So do not fear, for I am with you." This is from God's perspective. "Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalm 138, "You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes, my enemies. With your right hand, you save me." But this same hand of blessing is not promised to those who are disobedient, who refuse to call upon the name of the Lord, who neglect him throughout their life. Hebrews 10 tells us it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Jim Cimbala stated in one of his books, he wrote, "According to Scripture, God's blessing can rest on both men and women. His blessing can rest on a family, a child, and even an unborn offspring. It can prosper a local church in such measure that an entire city or region will feel the effects of God's favor upon that church. God's blessing can rest upon our personal finances, our physical well-being. In fact, Moses told the Israelites that the Lord your God will bless you in everything that you do. Think of the vast potential," Cimbala goes on. "We think of this potential we have if we live under the hand of God's blessing." He adds, "But then again, the blessing of God does not automatically rest on every person, family, or church. Some of us live out our years under a closed heaven and a closed hand. Nothing seems to work as we struggle on year after year. This can be true even for those who have professed faith in Jesus Christ. Likewise, Christian churches can live outside the hand of God's favor, becoming like the congregation of Laodicea that Christ warned us about. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." And Cimbala concludes, "This doesn't exactly sound as if God's blessing was overflowing in that church." God so desires to bless us. But we must call upon him. We must first believe in him to call upon him. And when we do so, he will be faithful. He's trustworthy. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I commit my spirit." And Jesus called this out in a loud voice, we're told in verse 36. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." One who had suffered on the cross for 6 hours, right before his body gave up his spirit, he cried out in a loud voice, "I commit." This word "commit" means to commend. It means to entrust, or it means to deposit in the Greek. And we can commit, entrust, or deposit our most valuable treasures into the bank vault, into a safety deposit box for safekeeping. Jesus, what was Jesus' most valuable treasure? It was his spirit. And same with us. You know, there are only two things that will last for all eternity: the word of God and our spirits, namely us, who we are. Everything else will be gone when Christ returns. But people and God's word will go on to eternity. When our bodies eventually fail us, then we'll die physically, but our spirits will continue on to eternity, either eternal life or eternal death and separation from God, based on what we do with Jesus. Either we receive him or we reject him. Well, Billy Graham tells a story of the death of his grandmother when he was just a young boy. In his book called Death and Life After, he writes, "When my grandmother was dying, she sat up in bed, she smiled and said, 'I see Jesus, and he has his hand outstretched to me, and there's Ben,'" which was Billy Graham's grandfather, her husband, "'and he has both his eyes and both of his legs.'" And then Billy Graham goes on to explain that his grandfather had lost one leg and one eye during the war. When we commit our spirits to God, we are eternally secure and whole. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus' seventh word from the cross offers us confirmation and witness of Christ's messiahship, that he was indeed the Savior of the world, that he rose again and continues to live. And when he spoke his words, his last word from the cross, this confirmed it. As we've seen in past weeks, that Jesus pointed out in his words that these Old Testament prophetic truths were fulfilled in him, even in his death on the cross. For example, the first word from Psalm 22, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" That was an Old Testament prophecy that was fulfilled. And Jesus' words, even as we think of the first line of a song, like, "Old MacDonald had a farm." So we think of the rest of the song in that first phrase, right? Unless you're dyslexic, old MacDonald had a farm, that would be O-I-E-I-E. But that's a different version. Well, his first word, my God, why have you forsaken me, came from Psalm 22. And the same principle was used in the seventh word, but not the first phrase of a psalm, but the key phrase of the psalm, which is, why have you, which is, I commit my spirit to you. Similar to how we might quote a famous one-liner from a movie. For example, these are like 10 of the most famous one-liners from movies. See if you can guess what they are. Love means never having to say your story came from what movie?
Love Story.
Love Story. All right? That's an easy one. If you build it, they will come. Field of Dreams. Right. Here's Looking at You, Kid.
Casablanca.
Gave you a picture. Wax On, Wax Off. The Beauty Channel on TV. No, it comes from... It comes from Karate Kid, right? Okay, here's another one. I am your father. It's Darth Vader in the Star Wars, yeah? Yo, Adrian! Rocky, right? Mama says, stupid is as stupid does. Forrest Gump, yep. I'll be back. Hasta la vista. Terminator 1 and 2, both. That's a trick question there. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Forrest Gump again. And then probably the most famous quoted movie of all times. I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. Or follow the yellow brick road. Or there's no place like home. Or on and on. Who's behind the curtain? Whatever. A lot of famous lines there. Hey, here's an extra credit one. You're going to eat your tots? You're going to eat your tots? Napoleon Dynamite. All right. How many got all of them right? All right. All right. Well, last week, Pastor Jeremy preached on Jesus' fifth word from the cross. He said, where Jesus said, I thirst, which came from the middle of Psalm 22 and Psalm 69, both, fulfilling these psalms. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And then Psalm 69, they put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. Jesus fulfilled those two psalms. Here in the seventh word, into my hands I commit, into your hands I commit my spirit, he quoted from Psalm 31:5, reminding his hearers of the entirety of Psalm 31. And what is the rest of Psalm 31 that these little kids from the, you know, they would have learned this psalm and memorize the psalm even from their young age, studying under a rabbi. They would have known this by heart. They would have known what Jesus was referring to, Psalm 31. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. But what are the four verses that precede that verse 5? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. But I'll tell you this, that every bedtime prayer taught to a young Jewish boy during those days was this psalm, into your hands I commit my spirit. It's like how we pray, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. His love be with me through the night. Wake me with the morning light.
And then the thing that scares everyone, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take in Jesus' name. But in the preceding four verses in Psalm 31, King David affirms that God is my protector, my deliverer, my confidant, one I can go to, my rescuer, my strength, my savior, my leader, my guide, my faithful Lord and God, all in the first four verses. So this is what Jesus was affirming even on the cross, as he said in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Again, Jesus chose to go to the cross and lay down his life for us. He chose to remain on the cross and suffer on our behalf. And that's why Jesus was able to declare with confidence in a loud voice that it is finished. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And that is why the centurion and all the other witnesses surrounding the cross upon his death, they would have felt prompted to pronounce, "Surely this was the Son of God," or "Surely this was a righteous man," in another gospel. That is why when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts when they went home, indicating a strong conviction that they had killed an innocent man. Jesus' words from the cross served to bear witness to the truth that he was indeed the promised one who had come to offer salvation to the world. That is why just 52 days later, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was standing and preaching after Jesus' resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit, he preached in Acts 2, "With the help of lawless Gentiles, you killed him, you nailed him to the cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And how did they respond? And those who believed what Peter said were baptized, and 5,000 were added to the church that day. I'm sorry, 3,000 that day. Just a couple weeks later, 2,000 more. Revival broke out because they believed the words, because they had witnessed this event of Jesus' crucifixion, or they had heard about this. So Jesus' final word, "Into your hands I commit my spirit, Father," it was declared with confident assurance and trust in his heavenly Father, and it was a message of triumph. And Jesus would die in the same way that he lived. One who had entrusted his entire life into his Father's hands. And that's the message for us today. We are called to entrust our lives, our spirits, into the Father's hands every day. We are to live in the same way that eventually we will die. "Lord, into your hands I commit my day. Into your hands I commit my work. Lord, into your hands I commit my finances. Lord, into your hands I commit my gifts and my talents to bring honor to you. Lord, into your hands I commit my relationships, my kids, my spouse, my children. Into your hands I commit my future, Lord. Into your hands I commit my attitude. Into your hands I commit my faith. And into your hands I commit my health. Into your hands, Lord, I commit my entire spirit, this eternal part of me that will go on to be with you forever." And this is what it means this morning as we celebrate baptism. It's a step of commitment that these candidates will be displaying before God and before you in their confession. "Into your hands, Lord, I commit my life. Lord, I choose to die to my old self, and to be buried, be washed clean, and then rise to my new self and declare that I belong to you. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my leader forever."